All right. Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the Poor Sports Podcast. We have an absolutely jacked up episode for you today. But first, before we get started, just some housekeeping. We love to hear from our followers and from our listeners. So remember, leave us reviews and subscribe to us on iTunes and on Spotify. Follow us on Instagram at poor_sports. Comment on our post. Share what you want us to talk about, because we love to hear from our followers and from our listeners. It's really why we do it. So yes, follow us, subscribe, like. We appreciate every last one of you. So now, with no further ado, we have episode 17 of the Poor Sports Podcast coming up right now. All right, as promised, Poor Sports, episode 17. I am your host, Jake Kelly. I am live in studio with Lee and Jeremy. Lee, Jeremy, say what's up to the people.
What's up, guys? Jeremy in the house here. Episode 17. We're in the backup studio tonight, but we will be bringing A-plus stuff night. Lee, how's it going?
You can't be in the main studio all 82 games of the year, you know what I mean? Sometimes you got to go to the backup, but I am jacked up. My Tampa Bay Rays survive another day.
So That is just the tip of the iceberg of all of the different things that we're going to be talking about today. As I'm sure all of you know, it is the best time of year. We've got playoff baseball. We've got the NFL. Hockey has started up. Basketball's around the corner. Even the CFL's getting warmed up.
Ticats clinching a playoff spot.
So we have so much to talk about today. We are going to start off with our thumbs up and thumbs down from the weekend, because, like I just said, there's so much going on these weekends. So I will start with you, Lee. Lee, what is your thumbs up to?
My thumbs up has to be Friday night, Nip at Night, Bearcats defeat the number 18 at the time, UCF Golden Knights.
I don't like this one.
Because you lost money. And want to know what happened? I told you in the group, don't do it. You don't bet against a blackout. You don't bet against a team at home on a Friday night prime time. It was the only NCAA game on at night. You don't go against the home team. And what happens? What happens, Jake?
I went against the home team and I lost.
What happens, Jake? No, Jager. What happened? What did you do?
I bet on the team that was undefeated in conference for how long?
Yeah. I mean, it's fair. That's sports. But yeah, that's a fair thumbs up. Like if you go against you, and UCF is a good team.
That's a very personal thumbs up.
Yeah, yes. Like those are. I'm wearing the sweater right now. I'm wearing the hat right now. Like it's a victory Monday for college. All right, here are the Bearcats.
So we'll move on. Your thumbs down. You're also going to stay with college football.
Yeah, I am going to stay with college football because it is losing me so much money. And it's not just one, it's not just like a lot of conferences, not a lot of games. It's one friggin' conference. It's the Pac-12. It's late at night. Because one, what? You're down. You're down after the afternoon games. You need something. You need a bailout game. Well, let's see. This weekend, Washington's playing Stanford. Stanford's 2-3. They're terrible this year. Let's hammer Washington. Let's get my money back. No, that's not going to happen. That's not how college works in the Pac-12. Stanford stuns Washington and dominates them start to finish, and I am down so much money, and I am sick of this Pac-12 football conference because it's the worst. It's the worst football. It's not good quality. You look at the Pac-12, they never beat teams of power, ever. The fact that they're even considered a Power 5 team, the Pac-12, is a joke because they have never done anything. You look at any sort of national championship, do you think Oregon's won something? Oregon's the only school in the Pac-12 that ever wins anything ever. The Pac-12 is an embarrassment.
There's a bunch of California schools in the Pac-12, right?
There is a bunch of California.
So pretty soon that is going to be the best conference.
So I'm just going to start talking about college football just a little bit here. I'm done betting it. I don't know nearly enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I did well everywhere else but college football this past week.
Yeah.
It's because college football has like that weird thing where it's like, The conditions matter. It's not always the best team wins. It's like a student section gets rowdy and like it's a hard place to play all of a sudden. It's not like the best team always comes out quality.
And
wins.
They're kids at the end of the day, right? They're young. Kids, they're young.
They're student athletes. Yeah. So some would say like you shouldn't pay them.
Anyways, we're not going to get onto that or we'll never get out of here alive. Jeremy, your thumbs up. Who are you giving your thumbs up to?
Jay Gruden.
Jay Gruden, really.
Kind of went out on his own terms. He was the first coach in the NFL fired today. Last week, he was just trying to get fired with those videos and pictures that were released.
I think he might have released them himself.
What were the videos and pictures for the people who might not
know? It looked
like
he was smoking pot and just like being belligerent.
Sweet.
Yeah.
But, like, I like the press conference after yesterday's game. He was saying, I'll continue to work on Monday if the key card works.
Huh.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah, I think that there was a huge divide between him and Snyder. He didn't want to draft Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback, and Snyder wanted him because he's a guy from Maryland, you know, right around the corner, and he was trying to get butts in the seats, but he didn't want to play him, and so...
As soon as you start Colt McCoy, then you're just like, I'm pretty much throwing in the towel here.
Colt
Fire
McCoy
me.
And...
Dude, did you see the one pick he threw? He literally, it couldn't have been harder to throw a completion. He still just threw it right to the Patriots guy. It was unbelievable. They were trying to lose. Mm-hmm. I'm still convinced of it.
Colt McCoy.
I think that he just wanted, Well, and he's still getting his paycheck, right? Yeah. He's fired. He's still collecting a paycheck.
McCoy and the decrepit corpse of Adrian Peterson is who he had to work with. And if it wasn't for Terry McLaurin, like, that team would have no skill.
Vernon Davis.
Yeah, hurt. Come on.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Jordan
yeah.
Reed, hurt.
Hurt.
Yeah. Trent Williams won't play because he's scared he'll get
hurt.
Hurt.
Yeah, fair enough. That organization's a dumpster fire. Your thumbs down, Jeremy. Who are you giving your thumbs down to?
So the reason we're in the backup studio this week is because some team in the blue and white is playing, so they need
They're
that
also
studio.
Playing a team in the blue and the white. Nobody all in there right now.
That's the Leafs and the Blues. I don't really care about the Blues. I care about the Leafs, and you probably do as well. Kasperi Kapanen gets my thumbs down.
What an idiot.
He threw a broken stick, caused a penalty shot, allowed the Habs on Saturday night to get a penalty shot, tie the game up, goals were traded back and forth, Leafs lose in a shootout. If that was William Nylander, he'd be sitting this game in the press box tonight. But it's Kasperi Kapanen, and he can skate really fast in a straight line, so Mike Babcock likes him.
You don't like Mike Babcock, do you?
I would have made a move in the offseason, and Mike Babcock would not be the head coach.
Interesting.
Of the team.
Who would have been the head coach? Quenville?
No, Sheldon Keefe.
Anyways, we don't want to talk too much about how much Jeremy doesn't like Babcock. But yeah, that was a bonehead play by
doesn't
Kapanen.
Doesn't like Babcock, and, doesn't like Marner's contract. And, like, we just go through it all here on the Leafs right there.
But yeah, we have more to talk about the Leafs later. But yeah, it was a bonehead play by Kapanen, and Max Domi let him know. If you haven't seen that video, people, do yourselves a favor and see that video. That's hilarious. It's hilarious. Anyways.
Do it yourself now, Jake. Let's give us your thumbs up.
My turn. My thumbs up is to Cooper Kupp.
Oh, my God.
Your thumbs Kupp?
My thumbs cup to Cooper Kupp. As many people know, I have been outspoken on this podcast about how great Cooper Kupp is compared to one Cleveland Browns wide receiver, excuse me. And this week, Cooper Kupp did nothing but impress. A touchdown catch, I think over 120 yards through the air, a whole ton of targets, and marched them. Him and Jared Goff marched him down the field to what should have been a game-winning field goal. My thumbs up is to Cooper Kupp because he really, really came out to bat for me.
Okay, so we're definitely going to get into this right now just because
you've
been on a tear. So you're basically just saying you love Cooper Kupp from a fantasy standpoint, or are you saying if you're Jake Kelly, the GM, and you had to pick a guy to start your franchise with between OBJ and Cooper Kupp, who would you rather have?
That says it all.
Fact that you weren't all over.
Over the last 3 years, I would say Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
But it's going into the future.
Yeah, you're
saying going into the future, sure, as well. Cooper Kupp is not a locker room distraction. Cooper Kupp doesn't hit himself with the field goal net. Cooper Kupp doesn't, you know, whine and complain and be all over social media for silly reasons. Cooper Kupp goes out, catches the ball, moves the chains.
Yeah.
And scores a lot of touchdowns.
Okay, so yeah. So continuing on that,
and
Jake, wait, just continue on that. Give me, just quickly off the top of your head, name some of the best wide receivers in the NFL game right now, or like of all time. Just start off. Randy
Jerry
Moss,
Rice, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss. Yeah.
Yeah. Want to know what none of those guys are?
Slot receivers.
Slot receivers. You didn't name your Wes Welkers. You didn't even name Larry Fitzgerald, who I thought you were going to name. That's the thing. I think a slot wide receiver is a product, not a player. I think you need outside guys, and that's why Jerry Rice and Randy Moss are the better wide receivers over time. And you won't find a GM. I bet you if you asked 31 NFL GMs who they'd rather have is OBJ or Cooper Kupp, and they're going to say OBJ, and you'd have Jake Kelly, the GM, taking Cooper Kupp. I agree from a fantasy standpoint, and heck, maybe even this year, but like, it's a slot wide receiver. They're around. Want to know who else almost led the league last year through like 6-7 weeks last year in the NFL? Was Adam Humphrey from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, slot wide receiver. It's just when you run across the field and you follow the quarterback's eyes. So when they roll out, when Goff rolls out, that's what he's there. But the outside wide receivers have more routes, and they have better corners on them. You think Cooper Kupp?
If you took Cooper Kupp stats and Odell Beckham Jr. stats from the last 3 years or from their last 12 full games, and said Odell Beckham Jr. had Cooper Kupp stats, and you told people that, they go, of course, he's OBJ. But then whenever you reveal that, no, those are actually Cooper Kupp stats, people go, oh, wow. Well, OBJ's still better because he's a name brand,
so,
man.
No. So I'll
he's
say,
a name brand.
If you took Odell Beckham Jr. and put him in Cooper Kupp's situation, the numbers would be better than Cooper Kupp's current numbers.
Look at the quarterbacks.
If. We can sit here and play ifs all night. And okay, I love this. Look at the quarterbacks. You know what? You're right. You are totally right. Cooper Kupp, you know, he's got a number one overall pick for a quarterback, right? Cooper Kupp is playing with other star wide receivers, yep, right? Cooper Kupp has a former number one overall pick on the defensive end.
Why does that matter?
Oh, wait a second. That's not Cooper Kupp. All of those things are Odell Beckham Jr. Stop talking to me about how Odell Beckham Jr. has it so hard whenever he's got the exact same people around him.
But it's
just like Cooper Kupp.
Okay, go ahead, Jer.
Cooper Kupp also has a number one overall quarterback throwing him balls.
I'm well aware.
Okay, so who's the thing? Who's the better quarterback, Baker Mayfield or Jared Goff?
It's too early to tell, but if you have watched...
Who's the better quarterback, LA Jared Goff or Eli Manning?
Jared Goff.
I'd say Jared Goff, yeah.
Okay, so that means over the 3 years that you want to talk about, there's been 2 years where Odell's been throwing, having
if
Eli...
he is so good...
But you can't. You can't say
so
that.
Good, if he is so, so good, then he...
We saw what Randy Moss was in Oakland.
Someone who didn't care. That's what he was in Oakland.
Also didn't have a quarterback.
You need a quarterback. You need service. You need service.
A diva wide receiver. A diva wide receiver. Anyway.
Okay, thumbs down, Jake.
All right, my thumbs down this week is going to the backlash which Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey received. For those of you that missed it, Daryl Morey tweeted out his support for the Hong Kong protesters. And if you're not familiar with that situation, I won't get too deep into it, but essentially the people in Hong Kong are protesting for essentially democracy and more freedom. Daryl Morey tweeted that out and received critical backlash from the NBA owners and people within the NBA because of the business implications that that would have in China. To that, I say to those people, shame on you. In a place like Canada or the United States where you have freedom of expression, you tend to take it for granted. And if you care so much about your bottom line more than other people's right to be free, I say shame on you. Daryl Morey has every right to do that as an individual in a free society. And if you can understand that trying to silence him is completely ironic, then that's a problem.
All right, that's a fair enough point right there, and that's a good spot, I would think, to leave it for segment one, thumbs up, thumbs down, which I liked. I liked. That was a good segment for the first time doing that.
That was a thumbs up?
That's a thumbs up for that one. So we're going to take a break here, quick break, and we'll come back. Segment two, two-minute drill.
All right, friends, it is time for me to try to make you some money. If you listened to me last week, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. Greg Zuerlein, is that his name? He should be sorry for missing a gimme. And that would have had the LA Rams win on the money line. It didn't happen, but I'm still not counting it. So I'm still 7-5, because that's ridiculous. Anyways, we're going to stick to the Thursday Nighters again. This week, it's the Giants versus the Patriots. Obviously, you're taking the Patriots, but we're talking spread this week. The Patriots are favored by 17 points. Take that. So I'm saying that the Patriots will win by at least 18 points or more. It's hectic, but they went into Washington and beat them. Patriots look good. Take the Patriots spread. All right, welcome back. And now it is time for the two-minute drill. If you don't know what that is, pretty much what it is we have a bunch of different topics from the world of sports, and we talk about each one for about 2 minutes. So we are going to start off with the baseball playoffs. Lee, baseball is definitely your thing more than it's ours. Give us the rundown. What do you think?
I think the baseball playoffs has turned out what everybody wanted. Like, you saw nothing but home runs the entire regular season. People wanted to see these pitching matchups. People wanted, I know the casual fans like, hey, like, I just want to see the runs and stuff like that. But when it gets to playoffs and you see the emotion and all that, like how emotional a single up the middle can get an entire team, that type of thing, and how emotional like pitching can be dominant when it gets to playoffs, it's been crazy this year. There's been a ton. I think the unders and baseball betting are like 75% hitting right now, just to put it in perspective. We have a couple really good series. We have a couple that could be over tonight's. The Yankees have just rolled the Twins.
The Yankees look really, really good.
On another level.
Yeah.
That's the thing where they do look good, but like the Twins also just haven't showed up.
Yeah.
I was expecting that series to be a lot better than what it was.
You could say the Yankees are the bombers, whereas the Twins have just bombed.
You could also say that, yes. As well as now, at the time of recording, we do know that St. Louis has forced a Game 5 with Atlanta, and that series has been really back and forth.
I got St. Louis in that league. You have?
I have Atlanta. I'll take the home team in a Game 5 every day of the week.
Fair enough. Yep.
And then we have a couple series. That was, of course, the NL, right? The AL's got my Tampa Bay Rays absolutely destroyed the Houston Astros today to keep that series alive.
So that's at 2-1, correct?
Yep. That is 2-1.
You can take the home team again in Game 4 there, Lee.
Justin Verlander's on the mound. That's the problem for the Houston Astros. And
man, Verlander's just something else.
I'd bet the bank account on
the Astros. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Weirder things have happened.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? And I always love, like, for instance, today, I love betting teams that have their back against the wall. Like your season's on the line. Mm-hmm. I like betting the team that at least for something, right? Mm-hmm. But sooner or later, that might have been what the Rays finale was. 32,000 people at the Rays game today. Most since 2016. Great crowd, right? 2016 obviously was the last time we made the playoffs, right? But it shows for a 1 o'clock game to get 32,000 people there, like they kind of gave us the crap game, right? Mm-hmm. But they might have just showed off for the crowd, right? Yep. So I don't know if we get the same action tomorrow. And then the last series is the Dodgers. The Dodgers and the Nationals. And that series has gone back and forth too. It's either the Dodgers win by like 100, it feels like.
What happened the other night? It was the Nationals switched their starter at the last minute?
Yeah, so for some reason, they don't want to start Max Scherzer. They want to keep Scherzer in the match. Not for some reason, sorry. He is starting tonight. But Max Scherzer's playoff record's terrible. It's a bad playoff record, bad ERA in the playoffs. He just, for some reason, can't get it done. So they were rolling into the pen. So all of a sudden, they're just like, Game 3, they weren't on the span of being eliminated. So they go, let's go with Aníbal Sánchez and see what he can get us.
All right, fair enough. All right, well, that's baseball, and the playoffs are a great time of the year.
Yeah, Jake and I aren't going to add anything to that. Lee's broken all down.
He's got that on. So, we'll move on. I have a question, guys. Are the Oakland Raiders good?
No!
Are the Oakland Raiders good?
I don't know, Jake. I think they're good.
I think the Oakland Raiders might be good.
I'm kind of on the train of they're actually good. Did you see Jake Cruden breaking it down in the disco? He said, I've been coaching for like 20. I'm 56 years old, and this is the best time I've ever had.
So just that team's second in the division now. They're 3-2.
Yeah.
Their point differential? Anyone?
No, I don't know.
Negative 20.
Yeah,
they're not good. It was a London game. Throw it out the window.
No, okay, here's the thing.
I bet the Raiders. I did. I wouldn't lie.
Yeah, I think the Raiders wanted to win that game more than the Bears wanted to win that game because all you've heard over last year, how could you get rid of Khalil Mack? How could you get rid of that?
For
and
sure.
Josh Jacobs, the pick that they got, they just shoved it down the Bears' throat.
Yeah.
Said this could have been your guy, but have fun with Montgomery, who, mind you, is very good. But Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is very good, too. Yeah, and the Raiders, man.
I think the Raiders are good.
Say what you want about Gruden, but he's a good coach.
What are they going to be the rest of the season, guys, if they team is good?
I think they're going to
fight for a wild card spot.
Yep. So you're thinking...
They have some impressive wins.
Are you saying they get 9 wins or more?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll take both of you on that.
Okay.
They have impressive wins. I don't care if it's in London. Mm-hmm. A win against the Bears is still a win against the Bears. They've gone into Indianapolis and they hammered.
It was the Bears and Chase Daniel.
They went into Indianapolis and they absolutely killed the Colts,
mm-hmm.
right? Like they have a bad loss against the Chiefs, and they dominated the Broncos on opening night. And trying to think where their other loss came from.
They're a hardworking bad team.
No, yeah,
I don't think they're bad.
I guess we'll see. But Gruden, the other Gruden, John Gruden.
Maybe you should get the other Gruden over there.
Fun fact: the coach that's going to be the interim head coach for Washington.
Was it with the Raiders?
Was the guy who replaced Gruden when they fired him?
Yeah.
Are the Redskins Are the Redskins low-key good? Maybe
the Redskins. We're gonna get to that in a second. We'll move on here, guys. We've seen a lot of hits to the head. Yesterday there was Mason Rudolph who looked like a moon face. He looked like Dwight from The Office whenever he got his concussion.
It was horrible.
He looked. Not great. So
Mason Rudolph. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the cart didn't work.
Oh my God. That's the best part about that. The fact that all you heard the announcers is like, why is he walking off? Why isn't the cart going on? And they pan to the camera. There's people just working it. And you're like, what are you guys doing?
Well, and we've seen hits to the head now on quarterbacks. Rudolph, Josh Allen. I'm missing someone else, I think. Maybe not. It will come to us. But we've seen hits to the head, and now, you know, there's so much emphasis. My question that I'm posing here, does the NFL need to be coming down harder on hits to the head? Does it need to be an automatic, you're kicked out of the game if it's deemed you hit a guy in the head? And I understand that plays happen bang, 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 but maybe if it's no debate, if you hit someone in the head, you're out of the game, then maybe guys... Well, maybe slow down a little bit and not hit guys in the head.
They're gonna get it wrong still.
No, I don't like the because there is accidental.
Yeah,
I understand that.
But if you're targeting. Yeah, that's the thing. So in the NCAA, what they have is if there's a hit to the head, they throw a flag and they call it targeting. They immediately go and review it. They go and review it to see if it is targeting. And if it is targeting, they kick the player out. And if they don't deem it to be targeting, they pick up the flag.
Just seems so subjective to me, though. And I think the question I'm asking, though, is that if they say, look, I know that things happen accidentally and so on, but you, as a defensive player, have to do every single thing that you can possibly do to not make contact with the player's head.
The problem that you're gonna
if you just say I know it sucks, I know it's hard, but CTE also sucks.
Yeah. Okay. So here's my counter for you. What happens to guys then at that point, like Leonard Fournette? Like, how do you tackle him? Because he just lowers his shoulder at everybody, and that's like what he insists. Like he goes in like that. Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, it's always low man wins, right? But when Leonard Fournette's already down into the ball, like he goes way down. He enforces that type of contact.
So maybe we'll see more running.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, like, what happens, like, the defensive players are going to be like, we can't tackle. Because, like, sometimes, like, you have to get low and like that. And sometimes, like, it's hard to
they
get
already
down.
Feel like they can't tackle.
Yeah, the sport is going to
the sport's evolving and changing because and I understand if brain trauma wasn't a thing, it'd be awesome. Right, but at the end of the day, like the NFL has dealt with lawsuits and so on, and people are not playing football at the same numbers. You've got to change it. It's not going to become flag football, but it's going to change. But
yeah, fair.
I digress. We could be on this forever. Anyways, we had fantasy explosions this week. Explosions. Christian McCaffrey snapped. Deshaun Watson snapped.
Therefore, Will Fuller
snapped. Did DeAndre Hopkins snap?
No.
He did all right.
Yeah, fair enough. So it was just a really good week in fantasy for some people.
I'm not one of those people.
Yeah, I think we went 0-3 in our leagues of record.
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. Actually, want to know what? As of right now, okay, I'll be the first to say I'm not looking to win my Dynasty Fantasy Football League this year. It started off rough for me, and I'm looking to incense tank. And I need Nick Chubb to get 8 fantasy points tonight for me to lose.
This brings up a real good question. I just want to spend 2 seconds on this.
Sure, yeah.
In one of my other leagues, I'm leading by 0.42 points. I played Nick Chubb tonight. Was that the correct decision?
Yes.
Yeah. You're worried about him going for losses, and... No, I think that he'll probably have net 1 yard.
Yeah.
You know, I yeah.
But he could fumble.
Yeah. Anyways, speaking of Deshaun Watson, it's been really neat. I'm sure people have seen this, how he is breaking down after games. It's kind of becoming like a shtick, like
yeah,
his thing.
Yeah, this is the media's dream.
Yeah, because Deshaun Watson is just such a, he's a good interview already. So then whenever he takes the time and he's breaking down the other team's defense, you know, from an actual football player's point of view, I think...
I've learned so much.
And I think something that gets lost whenever, if you listen to sports talk radio or so on, you're just hearing more so about transactions and silly things like Antonio Brown, right? I don't like to say his name. But right?
On this podcast?
That's a swear word. That's a swear word.
And you're hearing, and you hear about that stuff, whereas actually talking the actual sport itself... I think it's enlightening, and it's fun to listen
to. Nobody talks about how the Leafs changed their power play, so Mitch and Matthews are flipped.
Yeah.
It's, oh, Kapanen threw his stick.
Yeah.
We're all poo-pooing
exactly.
on him.
Exactly. I think Deshaun Watson is, it's cool.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, and you can't help but like Deshaun Watson. You really...
Especially with that garbage O-line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Feel bad for the guy.
Laremy the Gas Mask Tunzel.
Moving on, though, another guy who I think most people like, Saquon Barkley, looks like he's going to be back on Thursday.
I don't think he plays.
I think they give him 1 more week.
You don't think he plays on Thursday?
Yeah.
Interesting. From everything I've seen, they are saying that he's targeting Thursday.
He was a limited participant in practice on Monday. You're going up against the Patriots. You're
going to lose.
Vegas is giving you 17 points.
Yeah.
You're going to lose.
Are you really going to trot out your absolute star future, you know, everything in a game that you're probably going to lose with or without him? Yeah. But you can never prepare that way if you're, yeah.
You can, because the Redskins didn't throw in Haskins because they knew it's the Patriots. They didn't want to subject the kid to that.
Yeah, fair enough. But regardless of if he plays this week or next, this recovery time has been pretty...
Yeah, the trainers are just sitting there scratching their head.
Washington's calling, like, what are you doing to him? What's going on? Yeah. What's going on?
Well, like, you know, original reports were people were saying that he wouldn't be back until after their bye week in week 11.
That's what Jeremy said on the podcast.
Yeah, yep. It's impressive. Yep. It's impressive.
He's superhuman.
Anyway, speaking of people saying things on podcasts.
Oh, what a segue.
Kirk Cousins had
Lee,
on Adam.
It's just better if you don't address it. Anyways.
Anyways, Kirk Cousins had Adam Thielen on his podcast and pretty much said, sorry, man, I'll throw you the ball more. And boy, did he ever. He got Thielen for 2 touchdowns, correct?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of yards. Yep. And the Vikings looked good.
The Vikings look like
the Vikings are good.
So, yeah.
That was, I was going to go out on a limb if I was able to go on the podcast last week and say, if the Vikings lost that game, I think they would have fired Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, fair.
Because, like, they were supposed to be way better than what they are. Right?
They've been supposed to be better than what they are.
Yeah, and if they would have gone to MetLife and lost that game to the Giants, right, that would have been, mm-hmm. like, that with their third string running back because Wayne Gallman went down right away. Vikings look good, and it just goes to show you that maybe the Vikings just or the Giants just don't listen to podcasts or something like that. Because he's like, "I'm going to throw you the ball more," and then proceed to just throw it all over the field.
No,
the
ball. You could tell the Giants corners
they
who
suck.
To cover. They're just
the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants corners
they're
suck.
Just not
like,
that good. Yeah. Speaking of things suck. That suck, there's some really bad teams in the NFL this year. We were talking off podcast. Have we seen 4 teams? And when I'm referencing 4 teams, we're talking about the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Redskins, and the
Jets.
The Jets. Thank you. They're bad. And I said again off podcast, if these teams didn't happen to have to play each other, I could see all four of them going 0-16.
The Dolphins and Jets play each other twice this year.
Yeah.
That sucks.
That's when they're going to get their wins.
But I actually think those games will be almost must-watch games to the NFL.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, how bad are these teams?
Yeah. Yeah. They're just not good. I don't know. I think everyone's tanking for Tua, perhaps. But yeah,
I don't think I'm going on a limb and saying Tua's not the guy. I don't think Tua's the best quarterback in this draft class. But that's a talk for another show. Yeah.
So it is October 7th. Do you know what ESPN is dubbing October? It's nothing to do with baseball. It's Mocktober. They've already put out NFL drafts.
When the Bucks tragically lost the Giants, that was the day that I went on to my first mock draft and looking to
see where the Tampa Bay
quarterbacks projected to be taken in the first round.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's a lot of them.
That's like the draft a couple of years ago with Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Darnold.
Watson.
Was Watson in that draft as well? Yeah, that's a heck of a draft. Anyways.
I was going to say, quickly on this, between everybody, who do you think is the worst of those four teams?
Miami, by far.
Yeah, I think if you look at their point differential, and they just don't have, like, anyone good, man. They just don't have anyone good.
Yeah.
You know, at least the other teams have.
It's Miami and Washington.
Like, the Jets shouldn't be this bad. They've been snake-bitten. Quarterback getting mono. You can't, like, you can train all season. You can't protect. You can't train your, you know. You can't go to the gym and outwork Mono. Yeah.
The Jets have Bell, and they're going to get Darnold back.
I'm going with Washington. I think Washington.
Yeah, Washington's pretty bad.
Like, they're bad. And, like, they had a chance to win their first games. They were, like, the Patriots gave them every chance in the world to even, like, stay around.
Which tandem of quarterbacks do you like more? Washington's with Case and Colt? Or Miami with Rosen and Fitzpatrick.
Washington's.
You like them more?
Yeah. Oh, I think Case Keenum's safe. I still don't think he throws that many picks. I like Dwayne Haskins over Josh Rosen.
I've never been a big anti-Case Keenum guy. I think that he gets a bad rap. Like, he took that Vikings team to
the
NFC Championship game.
He's like the 35th best quarterback in the league.
I'm not going to sit here and argue about who the 34th is. But, okay, fair. Anyways, we'll switch gears now. We'll go from football to some hockey. The Maple Leafs. We talked about Kapanen a little bit earlier. Austin Matthews is off to a hot start, which he always is.
He loves openers.
Yeah, Jeremy, this is more so your account than anyone else. Some Leafs.
Three openers for Matthews. He has 7 goals in those 3 openers in his career, which is huge. And the team, the power play looks lethal. The defense and the starting on time is what they're going to have to worry about. And it seems like the starting on time is something we worry about each and every year.
Yeah.
30 seconds into the Ottawa game, goal. Minute and a bit into the game versus Montreal, goal. It's the Leafs. I don't know. They're going to score a ton of goals. Matthews.
They are lethal.
Matthews is going to score between 50 and 60 goals.
Wow. That's a take right there.
That's a proclamation.
Yeah.
Him adding that one-timer to his repertoire. Obviously. And it was funny because before he even played a game for the Leaf, one of the first hype videos for Austin Matthews was when he was just skating and he broke a pane of glass with his one-timer. And then when asked about it, he said, oh, I don't like taking one-timers. It's pretty bad. Now, this season, all he did was work on one-timers. Now, him and Mitch are swapped on the power play, so they're on their offhand, so it's easier to shoot.
Yeah.
The Leafs team's going to score a lot of goals. 5 points through the first 3 games.
Yeah, you take it. You take it. Yeah.
That's one of those things I said to Jeremy off podcast. What kind of schedule is that to start a team off? You give them 3 games in 4 nights? Like, what's that
as
garbage?
The premier team in the NHL?
Like, give that. Yeah. I'm sorry, but give that to Phoenix. Give that to, give that to someone where they don't.
Arizona.
Like, yeah.
I get it. I just know
always
that
Phoenix to me.
Making a schedule, I would not wish that job on my worst enemy. That's got to be so hard.
What do you think
hard.
He does for the rest of the year?
Works on the next year's schedule, I think.
Also, just while we're on hockey, real quick.
Yeah.
The Carolina Hurricanes, I said this a couple weeks ago, that they looked like you should bet them to make the playoffs and win the division maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking great.
Yeah.
They're puck possession monsters. And they just killed Tampa so bad, Stamkos called out a team 3 games into the year.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, Tampa, yeah. I was surprised at the result of that game. Carolina looks good. Are they still doing the celebration thing?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Come on, Lee.
Do you think that? Do you think that someone, like, is it the players coming up with that, or is it some, like, is there now a department in their marketing area?
I think it started out as the players kind of doing it, and now it's
caught lightning in a bottle and went, okay, we're gonna.
Well, sooner or later, you're just gonna like stop having ideas. Like, you're
no, that's why. That's why you have people in marketing.
Yeah, like, I'm saying, like, from like the player standpoint, like, sooner or later, the players are gonna like. What do we do?
Well, it's just like end of the game. They get in the center and clap. It's like how the Leafs raise their stick. It's just the Carolina Hurricanes are.
That's how forgettable of a team they are.
Jumping against the boards and celebrating with the fans. It's nice. Market hockey. Market your players. People like this stuff.
Yes. So talk about publicity, that you want the NHL to have publicity. Right now, the NHL has some bad publicity in forms of their commentators.
Is it? It's just the Bruins guy, is it not?
Like, Jim the Houston, CBC guy.
Houston, who's the voice of the Leafs.
The Bruins guy's gotten like the worst rap in the
NHL. He's garbage.
Yeah. So for if. All right. So if you've missed this, we're going to play both of the clips. First, we have the Roman Polak incident.
Close to the corner, Polak loads up for a hit, gave him that little chuck in the lower back, and Polak.
Yeah, that looks self-induced, didn't it?
Yeah, has a little bit of bad hockey karma.
So there's the first one with Roman Polak, where the Bruins announcer, I don't even know his name, I really don't care, says there's some bad hockey karma. Essentially, Polak was coming in hard into the boards, and as according to the commentator, said, created a self-induced hit on himself. Just not a good look to essentially
a joke.
Punch someone while they're already down.
That's like the opposite of Joe Bowen. Like, so Joe Bowen is the Leafs radio guy, and he's never been the TV guy because he's too much of a homer. But he's always like a positive homer. He doesn't put the other team down. He just builds the Leafs up.
Got it.
That guy's the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell he's from Boston, and he's just crapping all over the other team. If Polak played for his team,
He'd love him. Yeah.
And then, like, if someone booed Polak and be like, how do you do that when a player's injured and stuff like that? Like.
So, anyway, so there's that one. And then, again, we'll play the Jim Houston clip when he was talking about Austin Matthews.
What a start for Austin Matthews. And you know about his indiscretion over the summer, or alleged indiscretion. When I thought about that, I looked back to 2012 and thought about Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
24-year-old for the Chicago Blackhawks, got into a little trouble with too many cameras around in Wisconsin that summer. And what did he do? He came back and was Conn Smythe Trophy winner and won the Stanley Cup. And that's how you put a little problem behind you.
So there you have it. So again, Jim Houston comparing what Austin Matthews went through with to what Patrick Kane had done.
That's CBC. That's not a Bruins radio network. CBC came out and didn't reprimand him at all.
I don't think Jim Houston was meaning to be malicious or sweep things under the rug, but still, he kind of did. I don't know.
What if he would have compared it to Danny Heatley going out and scoring 50 after he killed his best friend?
Wow. Yeah, that's...
I feel like that's a little bit of a different scenario. I'm going to throw that one out there.
It is, but like...
It is.
In the same realm.
I don't even know what to say. Like, you've stunned me with that.
I forgot that Danny Heatley killed a guy. I forgot about that, but...
It's nuts. Like, CBC, do something about it. Be better.
Yeah, you at least come out with a statement, say We talked to Jim, and, you know, some BS, whatever statement, but, you know, yeah, I mean.
Jim Houston hasn't doubled down. The Bruins guy doubled down the next day when asked about it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean, because I don't think, like, the fact that I don't want to lump Jim Houston in with the Bruins guy, because I don't think Jim Houston is that kind of guy. He was just like, you know, it's a Saturday night. Maybe we address it, and we just kind of move on, right? It's a family show kind of thing. But I don't know. It's hard to say. Anyways, we'll move on. News out of Raptorland, Kyle Lowry signed a one-year extension. So he was already signed for this upcoming year, and now he's signed next year for the 2021 season. 1 year, $31 million, which means that he's going to be making $64 million from the Toronto Raptors over the next 2 years.
Good for him. It's a legacy contract.
And literally... Wow. About 5 minutes ago, I got a notification saying that Lowry was willing to force a trade if he didn't get that extension. So that would probably look like him sitting out or all that stuff.
Yeah, he's already been sitting out practices and stuff.
And well, there's also optics too, right? You don't want to have your championship team the very next year. Sure, you already lost Kawhi. That sucks. But the optics of now your star point guard who's been with you through thick and thin, you're not willing to pay him, and he's sitting out. It just looks so bad from your organizational point of view. Lowry, I think, knew it and said, you pay me or, right?
I loved this right up until you told me
that he would have forced the trade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that Masai's quite clearly anti-tank.
Yeah, I think so,
because he tried it right after the Rudy Gay trade, and then he ended up winning a division title out of it.
Yeah.
It didn't really work out for him, or did it? That's for you to decide.
Yeah, depending.
I think Brooklyn did a really good job this past year at like being competitive. They could have tanked and then maybe gotten a little bit better of a pick and then built through the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They went out, tried to win, and then they got stars to come there.
Now they got cut. Yeah.
So I think because 2021 is the next big free agency year.
Mm-hmm.
So that Lowry's contract will still be off the books by then.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raptors will be able to build again.
And I mean, you can always trade him.
Not at $31 million, you can't.
I think a contending team would pay him. But this is just an interesting stat that I came along. This is the first NBA deal with a first-year cap hit greater than $30 million ever awarded to a player older than 33.
Yeah, so, yeah, his body's breaking down.
So
like,
I don't know about that. He just won a championship.
Yeah, he did, but he wasn't a $30 million player while doing it.
Hey, man, you win a championship, I think
now, you want to give Jeremy Lin $30 million?
There's a hangover period, and he's obviously capitalizing. I don't love the contract, but I also don't hate it. Leave it at that. Anyways, we'll wrap up on, is this a light note or not? Essentially, some bird died.
Some bird? Are you kidding me? Some bird?
Lee, go ahead. Explain yourself.
The Air Force Falcons lost their mascot of 23 years. The mascot was a falcon. And she unfortunately passed away. What do you do if you're a gambler?
So when you and Jake were first talking about this in our group chat, I thought it was a physical person in a mascot uniform that had passed away.
No, it was the actual falcon. And there's like some like morals that you have in betting. And when a mascot dies, like literally dies, you bet that team to go play for your mascot because it literally just died. And want to know what Air Force did? Air Force just threw it away. They rubbed in the dirt. They didn't care about their Falcon. Because want to know what? They blew the game against Navy. They scored with 2 minutes left. Everybody was happy. If you bet Air Force -3.5, they were down 20-9 at one point. Like in the fourth quarter, it looked like they were dead to left. And all of a sudden, Navy comes rolling back. And they get a touchdown with, I want to say, 9 seconds left in the game to break everyone's heart. And why not? Shame on you, Navy. Shame on you for coming back and winning when there was a dead mascot. And you should feel ashamed of yourself. And anybody who bet that should contact your bookie, and you should not have to pay because that is morally wrong that you lost that bet.
You guys are way too personal on this podcast.
No, here's the thing.
His mortgage here's the thing.
I wouldn't have been mad if it was just a random Joe Blow stat. The record for dead mascot games, I looked it up, and it's hard to find an actual count of this.
Yeah, this is actually hilarious.
Who's like the statistician that's going through, and that mascot died then, that mascot died then. They won.
In the last 5 years, five of dying mascot games, there's actually been a lot of them, which is kind of scary, but dead mascot games are 26-1 until that Air Force Falcons game.
So now it's 26-2?
Now it's 26-2.
That's.
I'm going to take Carlton's head off right now. Leafs win the cup.
Wow.
All right. That's a good spot to end here. Stick with us. Coming up next, we're going to try something that's called Worried Not Worried. You're not going to want to miss that. Coming up next on Poor Sports.
Poor Sports. Poor Sports. Lee Kuzmich back here with some bets for you. I am now 15-7 after going 1-for-2 a couple weeks ago with my college picks. I'm going to stick in college. This Thanksgiving weekend, it has some tasty games. And I'm not looking to bet them. I'm looking to bet one of the best games, though. I will bet one of the best games, and that is this LSU. Florida is traveling to LSU. These are two, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, flying offenses. They only have the over set at 54.5. I think LSU alone might get 54.5. They're averaging this year 50. So I'm going to go ahead, take that over right there in LSU. LSU scores quick, and they score in bunches. So take that over at 54.5. Don't worry about that one. The second one, I'm going to go the complete opposite way. Iowa is hosting Penn State, number 10 ranked Penn State. Iowa is currently dogs by 4.5 at home. Iowa is a team that just likes to muck it up. They love defensive games. They love all that type of jazz. They're a defensive team. Good old Iowa team. So I want you to take one of two options. You could even take them both on a parlay if you wanted to do something like that. I'm going to take Iowa plus 4.5. I always like home teams as dogs. I like the points with the fans behind you. They're going to be up for this game. Could even be a blackout. You know what my record is with blackouts. The other one, under 43 points. That's a lot of points for an Iowa team that just recently lost, 10-7, 10-3 to Michigan in Michigan. They don't give up a lot of points. It's not going to happen with Penn State. They're not any better. So that's what I'm going to go. Go with the under if you want to go for a first choice, but also you could take Iowa plus 4.5. Those are my bets. Lock them in.
All right. Time for Worried or Not Worried on the Poor Sports Podcast. Friends, we are through 5 weeks. There's some interesting storylines. So how we're going to play this game, we've got some topics, and I'm going to say, are you worried or not worried?
Play at home, too, or in the car, wherever you are.
Wherever you are.
Wherever you're listening.
All right, so we're going to start off with them boys, the Dallas Cowboys, are
3-2.
3-2, have just lost 2 in a row. Lee, are you worried or not worried?
I am worried. I'm worried if you're a Cowboys fan because you played three of the absolute worst teams in the NFL to start your season. You couldn't have had a better start to your season. And then all of a sudden you played the Drew Brees-less Saints, loss. And then they'll be like, oh, whatever, it's at home, the dome, everything like that. That's fine. Then you're at home against Aaron Rodgers. And that's a game where if you want Dak to be the money man, you need him to show up. Never did. And I'm scared that this team's not going to win big games all year.
Jeremy, are you worried or not worried?
I said this off podcast before. It's like the Cowboys played on Madden and had this set on rookie for the first three games. Now they bumped it up to all pro, maybe even all Madden. I'm not going to say all Madden because it was Saints without Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But they lost. They lost to good teams, but they're not a good team. Yeah. You can keep betting against the Cowboys, and you'll do well because the Cowboys have so many fans that they always are going to put money on the Cowboys.
Interesting.
That being said, if I'm Jerry Jones, you're a winner. And if you believe in Dak, because he's showing up, but he's not winning. Quarterbacks get paid based on wins, unless you're Case Keenum in Minnesota.
Nice. Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
I'd be worried.
All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Lee, are you worried or not worried?
I am not worried. I don't think the Bucs defense. Now, I pumped the Bucs defense tires the first couple weeks because we looked unbelievable. The Bucs defense is who I thought they were going to be. They're struggling now. But that's what to be expected. You have growing pains. You got young guys, everything like that. And they're being exposed. Last night or yesterday against the Saints, they couldn't cover a 5-yard slant to save their lives. And that's how almost every touchdown was scored. I'm not worried in the sense because what was really our expectations? It's like we weren't projected to win the NFC South.
What was Lee saying after they beat the Rams, though?
We might be the best team in the NFL. But I think if any team ever goes into the Coliseum and puts up 55 on the defending NFC champs, you're going to assume that maybe you're the best team out there. Mm-hmm. Reality check, we're not. So I'm not worried just because our expectations weren't high. We weren't I think the projections had us to win 5 games. And just remember when I was on pod way off earlier, I said the Bucs will win more than 5 games as my long-term bet, and I still think that's a no-doubter.
I don't think that's unfair.
Yeah, that's not unfair at all, but
the Bucs, are you worried or not worried?
If I'm O.J. Howard, I'm super worried.
Yeah, like if you're a couple key parts.
Mike Evans has had a couple bad weeks. The offense is starting to get there, and if Arians continues with Winston, I think that's very good.
Jameis Winston looks pretty good in my opinion.
Except for when he doesn't.
For when he doesn't, naturally. Yeah.
Like he
typical Jameis Winston.
You can't win a lot of ball games in the NFL if you're going to only throw the ball 27 times. He only threw the ball 27 times against the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
You don't win a lot.
Yeah.
I'd be worried for this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. The Los Angeles Chargers. Lee, are you worried or not worried?
I've gone worried, not worried. I'm going back to worried. This Chargers team looks bad. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's been going on. They have a couple shocking losses. They really, you shouldn't lose at home to the Broncos. That shouldn't be a thing. Especially if some people, when we broke down each team quickly and the preseason, they had the Chargers in the Super Bowl. Remember that when we were looking at the US Today?
Yeah.
It was 14-2.
Really high on the Chargers.
14-2 and in the Super Bowl. That's not happening.
No, it's not.
Right? You lost 13-10 to the Lions. I'll give you that one. Right? But you kept it close with the Dolphins, right? Which is scary. Then you go ahead and you lose to the Texans by 7. That's okay. Whatever. The Texans are a good team. Then you go ahead and you lose to the Broncos at home.
That was supposed to be a gimme in bets and so on.
I'm getting close to hitting that panic button if I'm a if I'm a Chargers fan.
So you're worried.
I'm worried. Yeah. I'm very worried.
Jeremy.
I have a not so fun fact. It's that the Washington franchises, their medical staff also works for San Diego. Yes. I mean Los Angeles. They don't actually they're so injury riddled.
I see. Okay.
That was a trip.
Yeah.
No, I liked it. They're a hurt team. Rivers hasn't looked as good.
He doesn't. He looks overrated right now.
Yeah. Father Time's undefeated. He's getting up there. I'm very worried because if Rivers can't do it, this window's closed on the Chargers.
I agree. I think it's time to start selling your stock in the Chargers.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna do this last one because I'm not attached to this team as you guys have a little bit more. Are you worried about the Buffalo Bills and maybe that they're overachieving, setting you up for these false hopes at 4-1?
Oh, big time. I am worried that they are setting me up.
It's like that scene from The Office where it's like, that's it. I'm ready to get hurt again.
I'm ready to get hurt again. I hope that they can, they're 4-1 and it's, but you just, when you've been hurt this many times, you feel like, it's just bound to happen again.
It's the 2013 Leafs. Expectations were low.
Yeah.
They get into the playoffs. We lose in heartbreaking fashion, but it was a fun ride.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's kind of like a summer fling.
I'm not worried at all.
That's a great step.
I'm just enjoying it.
Enjoying the ride.
You heard on Poor Sports, the Buffalo Bills are a summer fling.
Now, quickly here, just quickly, who have they played? Who are their wins against? Do they have good wins?
Who did they beat?
They have the Bengals. They beat Tennessee.
Lost to the Patriots.
Yeah. Lost to the Patriots.
They're a good defense. They're going to be in every game.
Yeah, they're going to be in every game. I just want to make sure the
But I will say, regardless of who they do play, which we're looking up right now, you can't be mad at a team for who they played.
They beat the Giants and they beat the Jets.
Yeah. So the Giants
on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, but what I'm saying is you can't be mad at a team for who they played.
Yeah, you can't
see the New England Patriots. They've played no one good except for the Bills, arguably, right? And that was a one-score game. So, anyways, I think that does it for Worried or Not Worried.
I like that.
I did too. So,
I am not worried at all about doing this segment in the future.
Ooh, I like that.
Why does it when he say that you're like, oh, I like that? But I was like, hey, good segue. You're like, oh my God, Lee. Like you can't have it both ways, guys. All right. That's how it comes down to it.
I'm just leaving it out.
You literally said it. Or no, Jake literally said, ooh, I like that. Was the exact quote.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you got me. All right, friends. So we're going to leave it there. Hang in, though. We've got Jeremy's bet coming up next, so he can lose you some money.
What?
But thank you.
I'm the one that won last week.
Thank you so much for listening to the Poor Sports Podcast. Like I said, reach out to us on Instagram. Let us know what you want to hear. Leave us reviews and pound that subscribe button on iTunes and Spotify.
everybody that's listening can have a great Thanksgiving.
Have a great Thanksgiving. And yeah, we can't wait to do it all again next week. So thanks once more for listening to the Poor Sports Podcast.
Poor Sports.
Poor Sports.
I like ending things off here. Sports fan Jer, the producer, the one that makes it all sound so, so sweet. I won last week. Because I picked against the Cowboys. Now, I'm not picking New York to beat the Cowboys this week. But I'm a big fan of Teddy Two Hands. Teddy Bridgewater and the New Orleans Saints are dogs against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You can take them on the money line. Saints, money line, lock it in. Sports fan Jer's lock of the week. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at SportsFanJer. And follow the podcast if you don't. I mean, you probably do. You're listening to the podcast. Poor_sports. Thanks for listening.